movies. We watch movies. You listen to us talk about movies that we watched without you.
It's beautiful.
Thanks. Now this is podcasting. So Trey, you were saying that you were in a frat?
Yeah, I was. No, I'm not in a frat. I don't believe in buying your friends.
Oh, that was good that you changed it after you already said that you were.
Hold on, restart the tape.
Okay.
Say it again.
Trey, yeah, I heard you were in a frat.
No, hell no. I don't buy my own friends. That's preposterous. I would never join an organization that is sexist and racist and all that stuff. I would never do that. I'm my own individual. I would not pay for my friends. I'm not a douchebag. I would never do that.
Trey, you know what the first frat was?
What?
The Fellowship of the Ring.
Gandalf doing bong rips.
Which one are you?
Man, I'm kind of like Gimli, because I just get really drunk and pass out, you know? So I'm kind of a Gimli.
Yeah.
What about you?
I wasn't in a frat. So I'm Elrond?
Elrond Hubbard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is Super Filmscast 64.
You know how I spent all those classes learning how to say yes and? I've learned that sometimes you can just say yes and it's just as good. Why waste the time with those extra letters?
When one does enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see your point. You didn't have to even say that. You're smart, Adam. That's why you're a good writer. Adam's a good writer, guys. If you need Adam to write a bit for you and show it as your own, you call Adam. Because he'll do it. He'll write your bits, and then you can look like the genius. Even though Adam's doing all the hard work up there in Cleveland. How's the weather there in Cleveland, Adam?
Trey, let me tell you.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Oh, it's cold?
Do you know how your breath is usually invisible? Well, get this. Right now.
What? Tell me what?
It makes it look like I'm freaking vaping, and sometimes I pretend that I am.
Dude, that's badass, man. Vaping is cool.
Yeah, I blow big old clouds.
Did you see that? Donald Trump is trying to ban vaping.
Yeah.
Because his son came home with a vape pen from school one day.
They're coming back and they're saying, Mom, I want to vape.
I want to vape, Mama. And Trump's like, no, uh-uh. No son of mine's going to vape like a fairy.
In a collection of all the hilarious things that the president has said, kids coming home saying, Mom, I want to vape is... right up there at the top.
I'm motivated.
It makes me laugh the most, and it's something...
He did say that. I forgot he said that.
Everyone,
of all the things he said, I totally forgot that one.
Good people on both sides laugh at that one.
Yeah, both sides. Can we all just laugh a little bit? You know? Mm-hmm. Just sometimes we need to laugh.
Uh-oh. Trey's back on his laugh. His rant. Laugh rant. He's doing his laugh chunk.
Laugh rant 2020. We gotta laugh some, okay, guys? We can't be... so serious. Why so serious?
Oh, wow.
That's what the Joker said 11 years ago, 12 years ago, almost. Mm-hmm. Why so serious? And I think we forgot that. Adam, right here, we're going to talk about what we've been watching and the one thing that we both have watched recently and probably the final Best Picture nominee I think either of us have seen is the film 1917 by Sam Mendes.
Yes.
Adam, impressions?
I didn't love it.
You didn't love it.
I did not love it. I will say the movie is gorgeous. Like,
yes.
Taking nothing away from Roger Deakins and Sam Mendes, the movie looks gorgeous. The one-shot bit totally works in this. There's a purpose to it. It's not just, hey, we're gonna do this to kind of show off. The action sequences are good. although limited, and I saw them all in the trailer.
And that is a little the fault of the war itself. It was not a very action-packed war. It was a lot of waiting. So yeah, it's that's always going to be a hurdle with one World War One stuff.
Well, I'm not saying that there needed to be more, I don't know, explosions. But I just give me some variants from the trailer, I guess, is more what I'm saying. I would say that every single
that big high scene intensity with him running, that was the main scene that was shown already.
Yeah, so the entire thing. It wasn't even like part of it. And I get it because that part of the trailer is what made me want to see the movie. So
yeah, you're championing this movie.
So it worked.
What does it mean? Championing.
Championing.
What's the word? Championing this movie very early on.
Yeah, I was.
That breaks my heart to hear you didn't like it, because you were standing this movie just like Kendall stand his dad. You stand this movie.
Boy. Just watch Succession. Cramming stuff in here.
You gotta break a couple of Greggs to make a tomlet, right, Adam?
Hey, this guy found out he was behind after the Golden Globes. So I guess it's mostly just the story didn't really do it. I mean, the action stuff is like a small complaint in comparison to didn't really care much about SCO. They wait until the end to there's a reveal at the end that it is supposed to make you, and that actually works pretty well, I think, but just there's not really much developed relationship between him and Tommen. And I just felt kind of about the characters. And I think with some decent character work, even the stuff in Dunkirk, which I think is a far, far superior movie to this, where there's just little things they do where, whether it's jumping in the water in order to try to leave, just things to make it appear, like show that they're scared or, you know, what their desires are. I guess Sko in this movie doesn't want to be there, doesn't care. They talk about him giving his medal back and stuff like that, but it just doesn't hit quite as hard as I think it could, and maybe just the rest of the movie doesn't live up to the cinematography and all the production value that's put into this.
Yeah, I think I found the movie beautiful. I really like the cinematography. It felt, and I mean this in a positive way, it felt like a video game at times, like a Fallout kind of game or a third person kind of game where you're in a weird, almost alien location. Because there were a lot of behind the shoulder shots of them going through this, you know, the trees are leaveless. It looks like a bombed out. I mean, it was a bombed out. It looks like almost otherworldly. Oh. And there are so many great shots and so many great set pieces and so many. I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah, just production design of just like bodies kind of being. Like not even necessarily mentioned or shown, or it's maybe not even a part where you would think a body would be, but there's just like bodies everywhere that they're going that are kind of strewn about throughout this whole landscape that they go through.
Yeah, I think visually I enjoyed this more than Dunkirk.
Man, I think Dunkirk is,
and I'd probably need to rewatch Dunkirk. I probably will. I have it on Blu-ray. I think Dunkirk is a technically better movie. I mean, it's, well, better directed, better put together, maybe, but I think visually, this appealed to me more visually. Just going, you know, I mean, look, Lord of the Rings is my favorite movie, and that's about just going, walking through a landscape,
mm-hmm.
you know, walking through a bunch of weird places, crazy places, and this is sort of what that was. It's a traveling movie. You're traversing this this area, and you have obstacles in your way, and it looks beautiful. It's shot beautifully. So I did enjoy it. I think I enjoyed it more than you did. A lot more than you did.
I think you certainly did. And I'm going in to it seeing it as, you know, an Oscar front runner. And
okay. Yeah.
So maybe my expectation.
I've never been into war movies really. Like, I enjoy them, but they're not my thing. And so I don't think any besides like Saving Private Ryan, I'm not a big fan of war movies winning. I never put them next. You know, I never hold them in that regard anyway.
It's a little.
And so maybe that's kind of where I'm coming from.
It's a little on the nose to have to physically defeat your enemy and kill them in order to get past your whatever.
And it kind of.
The real enemy was inside all along.
It's somewhat easy. It's somewhat easy because you're kind of tapping into events that have happened. You're tapping into your own patriotism and your own, you know, your own biases.
Right.
So it's, and I'm not saying I'm not saying war movies are bad. I'm not at all saying that they're like propaganda. They can be, but I'm not saying this is that, or Saving Private Ryan's that, or Dunkirk's that. I'm just saying I think it's easy to say this movie is Best Picture because it's a war movie, because you think of the soldiers and maybe family members who have served. And I mean, that's why these movies are so popular, because yes, they do have a resonance to people that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really, I guess I've never been into that as much as other people have.
Yeah. Cause
I hate America, Adam.
Oh, right.
Hate it.
That makes sense.
Cause it's yeah.
Yeah. I'm not super high on this movie. I can see why people are. That's one thing, is like, there are some movies that, you know, you don't like. I don't know, like Ford versus Ferrari. I don't understand how someone watches that and comes out that, oh, that's one of the 8 best movies that came out this year.
I watched it with a buddy who was really into cars, and he really enjoyed it. I think if you're into cars, you enjoy it more. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not into cars either.
Right.
I'm not into manly things, Adam, like warring cars. Yeah.
Trey's soft hands are more...
I'm a softy.
Yeah, just those hands that have never seen a true day's work would never.
No.
You saw his hand go in that barbed wire in 1917, and you're just like,
oh man,
oh nope, I'm mm-hmm. out, going home.
I'm dead. I might as well be dead.
Leave me here with the milk.
Yes.
Also, I was with one of the most annoying theater experiences that I, not one of the most, because I had the lady at A Quiet Place tell me, be amazed that I ate a whole thing of popcorn.
Food shamed you.
Food shamed me.
Yeah.
After she was like loudly breathing through the whole movie.
Oh God.
This, I had an old couple next to me, and would just like, anytime they would say anything, you'd be like, oh, these are actually these kind of cherry trees. They'll grow back after this. And they'd be like, oh. And they did that for like every line of dialogue. It was either a oh or a mmm. And then when they were like, the baby needs milk, the guy was like, he has milk. And I was like, oh man, milk. This is driving me nuts.
He's got the milk.
He has milk.
It all adds up. Get the milk.
Also, after watching this movie, like, I don't have a problem with it being nominated for Best Picture, cinematography, director, all that. It's nominated for Best Original Screenplay.
So I guess this is based on Sam Mendes's, like, stories that Sam Mendes's grandpa told him.
Right.
So none of this stuff has been documented.
Right.
But it's been told through stories, so it's not based on a book.
I understand, but why Like, why I don't know, compared to Uncut Gems or something, I feel like this screenplay is just, like, not that or the Farewell.
Do you think they pay attention? Well, you've said that, though, that certain categories, they have specialty people, right, nominate.
Right.
Because, like, sometimes I wonder if it's just sort of like, whatever, on some of the categories.
Yeah, like, people, I like this movie, whatever. And so if it's a good movie, it has a good screenplay. So.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
I mean, that's kind of how I feel, but if there was a place, and I'm not going to rally for Adam Sandler necessarily to get an Oscar nomination over someone who did in what's a pretty strong class.
That was more stacked, but I think...
Like this, I think that you could get Uncut Gems, The Farewell, Booksmart, if you want to get crazy.
Yeah.
You know...
That'd be very crazy, but yeah.
Something like that into those categories. That's the areas where I would like it. I didn't, you know, I don't need it.
Right.
It was like when Get Out got original screenplay.
Yeah.
It was also nominated for Best Picture, but it's, you know, it's
something
kind of a
cool.
Tip of a hat to that, being like, hey, this is cool and original. And I don't necessarily think 1917.
Or Logan was like that, where that got Best Adapted Screenplay. I'm like, okay, well, all right, that's a nod to that movie.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like Lighthouse's cinematography. Okay.
Right, exactly. Like, I understand this isn't going to be something that is going to win Best Picture.
Right.
But come on. This is pretty awesome.
Give
right?
it something.
Like, this was better than other things.
I think Uncut Gems should have been nominated for editing.
Well, that, or we could
sound design.
Argue about Uncut Gems every single episode for the rest of time.
I think the Zaffy Brothers will get their due one day. If not pretty soon, I think they will.
Yeah, I hope they show a little range. Because now, if the next movie is similar to these next two, then people will be like, okay, well, you're a one-trick pony. This is all you do. So we're not going to give it for this one either. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I saw them on Twitter talking about someone tweeted, oh, I would love to see the Safdie brothers direct a movie about the night OJ went to steal back all his merchandise. And Josh Safdie tweeted back at him. It's like, we've done a lot of research into that night, which that would be amazing.
I mean, they're very linked to sports
right
now, at least, you know, so why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Why not us?
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, Trey, have you been watching anything else? Also, this is probably late. We probably should have put this at the top. We're going to predict 10 movies each that are going to come out in the next decade.
Yes.
We've done our favorite movies from the past decade. We've talked about, you know, the most impactful movies from the last decade. Now we're going to look ahead and pull out our crystal balls.
Make our predictions, yes.
Crystal
balls.
To predict some movies that are going to be coming out. We'll do that in a little bit here. But Trey, have you been watching anything else?
Not really. I've been playing a lot of games, Adam. Been playing a lot of video games, trying to get back on that.
Wow. Now I know how it feels to be on the games cast. And
I know. I did go to the Bad Radio Movie of the Month and watch The Jerk.
Oh.
Yes. Sat right, sandwiched right between Junior Miller and Justin, who is a good pal of the podcast.
See,
He's the blind guy.
No,
you know him. Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. Good dude. And we watched The Jerk. And I watched that a few years ago for the first time. I thought it was all right. Saw it in theaters. Loved it. It's very much a movie that does well with a big crowd and people are laughing. And I think paying attention. You're not distracted by other things. You can kind of focus on the comedy. It's really well done. And even Planes, Trains, and Automobiles has grown on me as well since we last saw that and reviewed it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked Steve Martin. God, I always want to see Martin Short.
Yeah.
Steve Martin. I've always liked Steve Martin. And I maybe want to check out more of his comedies I've maybe missed throughout the years.
Trey, have you seen Bowfinger?
Stuff. I've not seen Bowfinger.
You will. I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
You may like Bowfinger better than either of the other two.
Okay. Should we go back to doing recommendations?
Maybe we go back to do recommendations. I will go back and talk The Jerk a little bit. The Jerk rules.
Okay.
The Jerk's great.
Yeah.
Like, such a funny movie.
Yeah. There's some stuff that maybe doesn't hold up, but every comedy movie, there will be bits and pieces that are a little outdated. That's just the way it's going to be forever.
Right.
Even Booksmart in 30 years is not going to, there's going to be things where people are going to be like, problematic?
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well, because, you're trying to be edgy, and if you're being edgy in whenever, 1978, imagine what... that's not gonna go well 40 years later.
No.
Wow, 40 years. That's crazy.
Yeah. 79?
Yeah,
right?
79.
So, yeah. Old man.
So, yeah, so Trey, Bowfinger, that's okay. Your homework.
Bowfinger.
There you go. And then while we were talking a little bit about Oscars earlier, Golden Globes... came out 1917, won for Best Drama, and Once Upon a Time won for Best Comedy.
It did.
That's correct.
Yes.
So now the Golden Globes kind of gets the hype because it's on the big station and stuff, but there's some of the Producers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild just came out, and those actually feature a lot of the same members that are in the Academy. So they're a little bit more predictive. The Producers Guild 1917 won, and the Screen Actors Guild Parasite won. It's a big one. So if you're...
And that's the big one for that is...
Ensemble cast is what their best...
Yes.
Best performance by an ensemble cast is for the Screen Actors Guild.
It's interesting.
Which is interesting because none of the actors got nominated... for an individual role, but apparently they think all of them together
made for the character.
Which...
The house is the character.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually say that the house is the main character.
The Rock.
I would, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would maybe put that against it.
I would put Once Upon a Time in Hollywood better for, if it's simply ensemble cast, I would put it above it. But, I mean, Parasite is... A great cast too. I'm not.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
I'm not going to be hating.
No.
That. So that's something.
And I think people, and I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen Parasite, or know about it, or want to see it. I don't know. But if you don't, if you're on the fence, this isn't some pretentious art movie. I think people are really, they think it's some kind of like pretentious, haughty art film.
Right.
It's a blast. It's like if this was in English, it would be a really cool, intense, kind of funny, kind of thrilling movie.
Right.
Like it's a fun movie to watch. Don't be scared off by the subtitles. It's not some pretentious, dull, boring movie. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I think another thing is it's kind of hard to describe for people, but
yeah, it really is.
Kind of like as we said when we first saw it. I would compare the first 30 so minutes to Ocean's 11. So if you like Ocean's 11, there's this. And then it gets way better than Ocean's 11 ever gets.
Yeah.
And Ocean's 11, pretty solid movie, I would say.
Sure.
The first one. So it goes in fun places, and it's super entertaining. I can understand how people would, like... The Irishman is a little, it's like, it can be a slog. Like that's not, it's not for everyone. And I totally understand that.
Right.
Parasite is that fun movie that
you
want to win. Like that's
the
only thing, you know, as Bong said, just got to get over that one inch hurdle on the screen of the subtitles.
I mean, it's a guy who did Snowpiercer. I mean,
right, exactly.
Like, I would call, you know what? I would put Shape of Water in that category of sort of
artsy,
pretentious, artsy, sloggy.
For sure.
Yeah, this is not that. This is not that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. It's fun. So we talked about Uncut Gems a little bit. I found this article in the New York Post that I thought was interesting. Acting legend Terry Moore talked a little bit about why they thought that maybe some of the big names were snubbed. Some of the big snubs for this year were. So she won a Best Supporting Actress a long time ago and still votes at 91.
Okay. Wow.
So maybe a little look into the psyche.
Okay, boomer. Yeah. It's not really a boomer.
So here's for Jennifer Aniston. Not Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Lopez. Hustlers is not an Oscar movie. It's a little too rough around the edges, and I'm assuming some other people in the acting category didn't see it. Florence Pugh seems to have gotten the J-Lo spot, maybe because Little Women is a prestige movie and she's a bright new star. Actors tend to think of Jennifer Lopez as a phenomenon more than an actress, per se. It's like last year when Lady Gaga lost the Oscar to Olivia Colman, a real actor's actor.
That
kind of makes sense, because then it's like, oh, you think you can just come in here, you do commercials, you can do your music career, and then you can just come in and think that you're the best of us who have been treading the boards and been committed.
Can you send me this article?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. Adam Sandler. She said, the performance was tour de force. He's emerging as a truly great actor, but then he does cheesy Netflix comedies that are really dumb.
But he's done that his whole career.
There are a lot of movies.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
There are a lot of movies,
that.
A lot of performances per year for us to watch. Unfortunately, actors become brands. Sandler's brand doesn't scream Oscar, but Leonardo DiCaprio and Jonathan Pryce's do. So basically saying, people aren't going to watch the movie almost if you don't have a certain brand, a certain equity as being a serious actor, which I feel like, I don't know, that's kind of your job.
That is your job. I'm trying to think of other actors who have like done that too.
Made the jump right away from where it's like they're...
Well, I guess John C. Reilly did the opposite of that.
Right.
What other actors have like... Oh, did Jim Carrey get nominated for anything? Did Jim Carrey get nominated for Eternal Sunshine? Let me look.
I don't know if he did.
I got your email. Because that would be interesting.
Yeah. Another voting member said that Adam Sandler's joke on the Howard Stern show, if I don't get the Oscar, I'm going to fucking come back and do a movie again so bad on purpose that to make you all pay, says there was an arrogance to Adam. It's a lack of respect.
Okay. That's just like those baseball. It's like the guy who didn't vote Derek Jeter in the Hall of Fame. It's just so pretentious and douchey. All right, whatever. Yeah, he got nominated for Best Comedy, Golden Globes, Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, so that's not quite the Oscar. Same. Yeah, because Golden Globes kind of likes taking the risks. Right. They like being too early on something.
They did Johnny Depp for Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, like they do those kind of things.
Yeah. They went on to say they're talented in their own ways, but is that what the Academy's about? Which, that's the pretension stuff that drives people crazy. They say for Eddie Murphy, some voters disliked how he seemed to campaign for a nomination, including hosting Saturday Night Live.
That's what they all do! That's exactly what they all do!
After giving his old show the cold shoulder for 35 years, I didn't like his attempt for it.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
That is insane. That is what they all... That's what Weinstein did. That's how the Shakespeare in Love won.
Yeah.
That's what they all do.
It's nuts.
That's what Matthew McConaughey did.
Everybody does
exactly what he did. Yes.
The voting member conceded, if Adam Sandler has another great film, he'll be nominated.
Oh,
if
whatever.
Eddie Murphy has another great film, he'll be nominated.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, you got to pay your dues. We'll shut you out for one. You get one that we'll keep you out on, and then we'll let you back in.
This is why no one likes the Academy Awards.
Yeah, that exactly. That's exactly why. Like reading it pissed me off. It's so dumb. And just how petty. Like, I get
so
for
petty.
A certain extent to be like, no, this is my trade and this is what matters. But it's also like, what do you think you're doing here? Why are you being a dumb gatekeeper?
Yeah.
Why don't you let all the kids in your frat, Trey?
We did.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all I have for news.
Okay. Well, I guess, 2019 was last year, Adam. That's old news. I don't care about the Academy Awards anymore. They're going to shut out my boy Adam. Mm-hmm. They're going to shut out my boy Eddie. They're going to shut out J-Lo. I don't give a crap anymore. So we're going to look into the future, Adam. We're going to look into the decade of 2020s. What movies are going to come out? What events are going to happen? What big things are going to happen?
Oh, yeah.
We have our crystal balls.
We're what you would call movie experts. And so what we have is our fingers to the pulse of what Hollywood is up to. And so we've been, feeling our sources out, and we know what these big studios are going to do for this next decade as things move forward. So, Trey, do you have your...
We each have 10.
Movies, so if you want to start.
Okay, I'm going to start, and I kind of did this by year, okay?
Okay.
So this is going in order from 2020 to 2029. So my first prediction in 2020, the Sonic movie is hailed as the Dark Knight of video game movies and has tons of Oscar buzz surrounding the film, as well as Jim Carrey's electrifying portrayal of Dr. Robotnik. It's ultimately snubbed at the Oscars, and still no Snyder Cut.
Oh, wow. So 2020, a big Sonic.
Big year for Sonic. Big year for Sonic.
All right. I did not go yearly, but you know what? I guess I could.
Okay.
So in order to keep with your theme, I'll do that.
Okay.
The year is 2020. Once upon a time in Hollywood is a big success. It wins the Oscar.
Is that your real prediction?
It goes on. It wins the Oscar. Okay. No, sure, whatever. That's my real prediction.
All right.
And people are saying, all right, so this was a look back at 60s Hollywood. You know what we need to do? We need to find what's new, what's next. So it's a look back at the golden era of the early 2000s movie making, and it's Once Upon a Time in Vancouver.
Great. It's going to be all the Judd Apatow movies were made there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be them, right?
Yeah, it's just, it's fake New York. It's fake California. Yeah. The tax breaks are great.
Yeah.
That's all there is. It's snubbed at the Oscars, which is actually the first Oscars to take drastic measures to get people to watch after terrible ratings. It's intercut within an episode of The Masked Singer. That's my prediction for 2020.
Okay. 2021, Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are delayed until 2031.
Oh.
Still no Snyder Cut.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
those
rough.
Avatar movies just getting delayed.
Mm-hmm. So, the Fire Festival documentaries that came out.
Yes.
It's been a big thing. Now that we have things go viral, we can go and try to catch up and see, hey, what was the deal with that? And so that's why 2021 is the year of Popeye's Chicken Sandwich, the movie. And how it's this last decade has been all about rewarding your rewards. You had MoviePass first, and then they came out with stubs and stuff. It's the first movie to premiere chairs that give you the ultimate reward, the sweet release of death.
death chairs.
Yeah, yeah. So people are going there and they're just dying left and right
while they're watching their chicken sandwich movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay. 2022, new Star Wars trilogy released. It is both a prequel, remake, and retelling and sequel of the original 9 films. Still no Snyder Cut. So they're just taking everything and redoing
mm-hmm,
it.
Yeah.
They're just going to redo it all. And it's going to be by fan request. It's just going to be a whole new thing, man. Just all new Star Wars for our new generation.
So in 2022, in 2011, Harry Potter movie, huge. It was huge. People love movies about books, but there's just one problem. People don't read books anymore.
No, they don't.
What
read
do
them
they do? They listen.
Why
to,
would you read a book?
They listen to podcasts, and so that's why 2022 is the year of Cumtown, the movie.
Just about podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, it's just about the podcast Cumtown.
Yeah.
And it stars Ralph Fiennes, and he's so desperate to win an Oscar, he actually legally marries a dog.
We're not that far off from a podcast movie.
Oh,
I don't think.
For sure. There's already been a podcast TV show with Zach Braff.
Yeah.
And I think God Friended Me is based around a podcast as well.
Oh, Jesus.
It's around a podcast and Facebook. What a combo.
Okay. 2023, the sequel to Mad Max Fury Road comes out, but this time it's Mad Max Furry Road.
Oh.
And it's considered the Schindler's List of the furry community. Still no Snyder Cut.
Wow. So in the Schindler's List of the furry community, what is the girl's red jacket?
It's a purple fur fox jacket.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a little fox set with creepy ass eyes.
So the new millennium, it's been all about the Avengers, right?
Yeah.
It's about the Avengers. It's been about Marvel. It's been about cinematic universes, if you will. DC's into it. That's why in 2023, it's, you know, those cinematic universes, it's all about taking characters that you know and love already. Maybe that you've forgotten about from your childhood that you want to bring back.
Okay.
So that's why in 2023, the McDonald's Cinematic Universe comes out with gritty reboots of the Hamburglar, Ronald, Grimace, and Mayor McCheese in their own movie before finally teaming up.
I'm down for that. I'm down for all that.
Ooh, a twist.
Now maybe we could get some of the other... What's the twist?
Martin Scorsese directs it. And this time, it's actually a theme park. You have to wait in line. It's just super hot when you watch the movie, and everything you eat there makes you feel a little sick.
Perfect. Yeah. I can't wait to go to that theme park.
I'm sorry. What you were saying? What other things needed to be added?
Yeah. Well, we need to have. I mean, are there going to be other franchises? Like, is there going to be a Wendy's movie? Is there going to be a Burger King movie? A Taco Bell movie?
Taco Bell
movie is like Sicario, but in Taco Bell.
the success of the McDonald's Cinematic Universe will have Burger King try to create its own, and they'll relaunch.
Okay.
They'll relaunch a movie about the king like 3 times before finally deciding that maybe it wasn't such a good idea, and then they'll bring on Ben Affleck, and the king's name is Martha.
Okay. 2024, Quentin Tarantino releases his final film ever.
Oh.
But it is just him sucking on Uma Thurman's foot for 3 hours. Still no Snyder Cut.
Would watch.
Yeah, would watch.
Would watch.
He's just sucking on them toes.
Dark reboots. Huge. Huge this Huge. Last Humongous. This last decade.
Gritty, dark, brooding.
And it's not just, you know, Batman or characters that you think should be, you know, that makes sense for them to be dark and brooding. Maleficent was a big success, the original one. It focuses on a Disney villain, and so they decide to come up with a new dark reboot of a Disney villain. This time it's from Fantasia, and it's just called Broom.
Broom.
Broom. And Kevin James gets ripped for it.
He stars as the broom?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but he's in it and he's freaking yoked. People are really big fan of yoked Kevin James.
They're a fan of yoked Kevin James and broom.
Mm-hmm, and broom.
Now, does Mickey make an appearance?
Just a slight one. There's hints of there's hints of Mickey around there.
Okay.
And Mickey is, I don't know, Jaden Smith.
All right. So 2025, Adam, you're talking about Avengers being big, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Avengers having a whole bunch of film franchises team up well-known characters. Well, the A24 Cinematic Universe has come together.
Oh, wow.
A24 releases Avengers. All your favorites like Lady Bird, Ava from Ex Machina, Swiss Army Man, Payman, Defoe in The Lighthouse, and Bill the Goat team up against the Nazis in Green Room and a creepy ghost man from Ghost Story in this indie epic.
Wow.
Still no Snyder Cut.
Wow, that would be so cool.
The A24 Cinematic Universe.
That's a pretty great one. I wonder...
What other...
I wonder how the Swiss Army Man would do with Payman.
He just farted in his face.
Get along well.
Yeah, they'd get along.
Lady Bird.
Lady Bird. Freaking
Nazis. Oh, man.
And the Ghost Man.
That's a good one. Hey, toy movies were big. The Lego movie, yeah. Toy Story, all that. So they make a movie called Fidget Spinner. And
all right.
The main fidget spinner
is John Gadd, the main fidget spinner.
No, it's voiced by Tom Hanks' son Chet Hayes.
Not even Colin?
No, Chet? Not Colin. Colin passed, but not Chet Hayes is on it. Rapper Chet Hayes.
Oh man. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. All right, 2026. Kind of a down year. A movie about an autistic mouse in Brooklyn is everyone's favorite film of the year. Still no Snyder Cut. So just, you know, kind of a down year. Nothing much happened that year.
Yeah. Makes a whole lot of sense.
Autistic mice are the new thing.
So, Kathleen Kennedy. Was this 2027? 2026?
Yeah. This is 2026. Yeah, you're 2026 now.
2026, Kathleen Kennedy still in charge of Star Wars. They've completely retreated from the scene. They say, all right, what do we need to do? We need to regroup to launch this. Again, our last few efforts haven't gone well. What worked? Okay, so they look back at what worked. Rogue One, it worked. They took a theme and they said, all right, we'll make a Star Wars themed around a war movie. So so what can we do? So they come up with the movie Cantina, which is a La La Land spinoff where the Star Wars Cantina band finds its footing and a white alien saves Jizz. He's fighting for Jizz music.
I would watch this. I would watch this. I want to watch a Jizz movie, a Jizz music movie.
Mm-hmm. Cantina band, they're just trying to figure it out.
It's not working. I once got away with saying jizz on the air because when I produced Country Force one time during dry dock, I did a game show of Star Wars versus golf, and I gave Eli Star Wars questions and Ty golf questions.
Okay.
And one of the questions was what is the music played in the canteen band? And I said jizz music, and they're like, "Whoa, we can't say that." It's like, "Well, that's the answer. It's jizz music.
That's the name of the music.
It's the name of the music. You could say it."
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, 2027. Martin Scorsese says film was a mistake and starts destroying every single film reel, tape, movie theater, anything can find to make sure all film is destroyed. He is gunned down as he ignites a movie training company in Aledo. Still no Snyder Cut.
Oh, man.
So he just goes crazy, man.
I guess the success of the McDonald's franchise didn't go that long.
Didn't go well.
It burned out. It burned brightly.
That it was Yes. But, he came to the realization it all was a mistake, everything.
Okay. So this year, Parasite, huge success. It's an Asian film that really connects to an American political issue.
Yeah.
And so using that, they come up with this movie where Gundams are allowed to contribute to political campaigns. And it's really just, it's called Citizens United, but it's like Gundams United. And the Gundams are just trying to find their way and
you're just making
find out
movie.
If they're, are they people?
I like that. I'm down for the Gundam Wing movie. Did you watch Gundam Wing?
A little bit.
Yeah, I like Gundam Wing.
They win the SAG award. It goes to President Amy Klobuchar and Logan Paul.
Logan Paul
for that movie. Yeah.
All right, 2028, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
The Snyder Cut is officially released.
Whoa!
After years of war, terror, the Snyder Cut has been released. The crowds cheered as finally the true version of the Justice League has been exposed to the population, breathing a new life of art and culture. It's a true movement. Some people say they were cured of ailments after viewing the cut.
No, of course.
Some say it gave them good luck. It was a religious experience. They saw the face of God.
Oh, wow.
For everyone who saw it, it was something special. Praise Jesus, the Snyder Cut is back. Though the Snyder Cut did cause mass hysteria, death, destruction, as well as the living not dead, but dead corpse of Martin Scorsese broke into a government facility and launched some nuclear weapons that did hit Russia and China. And there was like a whole big World War III thing that happened. Millions died in the months of bloodshed, but finally the war stopped, but the world would never be the same.
Oh, wow. The Snyder Cut. Was it any good?
It was too much. It was too much.
Is it any good?
It's all right.
This next one is a Golden Globe winner. It's
okay.
Just perfect. It destroyed. It destroyed the competition for a Golden Globe comedy, and it's a movie called Depression, And it's not like made by, I don't know, Anthony Jeselnik or some comedian who has a comedic look at depression. No, this movie is sad as hell. But I mean, it's winning the Golden Globe for best comedy.
Yeah,
and it's
weird that
this is happening at the same time that the whole world is.
Snyder
Cut, they're still gonna have the Golden Globes.
Oh no, of course you have to. I mean, it's tradition, and I mean, yeah, I mean, the world's ending. Depression is the funniest movie out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's the funniest one left. And
why would you be sad?
Yeah. And you know how movies are, they've made a whole bunch of advancements in chair technology.
Yeah.
Make it as comfortable as possible, get people out of their house. This is the first movie that has chairs with built-in fleshlights.
I guess people need something else to get their minds off the distraction of the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, right.
You know. All right.
Please come to the theater.
This is the last year of the decade. Jumanji 3, Jack Black and Kevin Hart switch bodies. Everyone loves it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone loved it.
That sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. Jumanji 3.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
The artificial intelligence created by Warner Brothers to the perfect movie.
Yes.
Comes together. It recognizes the greatness of Boyhood along with the Boyhood, a movie shot over 15 years. 1917, yes. A movie that happens in real time. So the movie called The Great War combines both of those great ideas by showing the last 15 years of a life of a World War I veteran in real time, and it just is playing. It's a 15 year long movie.
It's just a 15 year long movie
of just some guy dying.
Oh god.
Yeah,
jeez,
that's gonna be the new hot thing.
the new hot thing. He's just watching people die slowly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into this future.
Getting his catheter.
Lisa Snyder replaced. Cuts out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Snyder cuts out. So it's that's a big deal.
That's the deal. Jumanji seemed great.
Oh yeah,
I'm really optimistic.
They would switch. Who would have thought?
They switch bodies. The thing is, though, they didn't have the actors just using their voices. They had to like wear makeup to be the other actor.
Oh, so. Well, but in 2029, we're beyond that.
Yeah, we're beyond that. At that point.
We're fighting. I don't know, Naples.
Or Snapple.
Snapple's become too strong.
They have become too strong.
Taking over the world's water supply.
Did you ever hear the rumor in like middle school that Osama bin Laden owned Snapple?
No, but that's Snapple. Amazing.
Yeah.
Osama's just like, we will give them facts underneath.
Snapple. Yeah, that's one I heard. Well, Adam, is there anything else on this here podcast that we should mention or talk about?
Well,
go ahead. Do we have box office from this last week?
Yeah, well, let's see. Bad Boys for Life made $62 million.
Yeah.
So maybe sometime soon we need to start together our... Well, I don't know about that. Put together our year-long... box office.
Yeah, we should.
Think that'll be coming in the next few weeks.
Okay.
Coming out this weekend, Trey, The Gentlemen. Have you seen the trailers for this? I feel like they're everywhere.
I have seen trailers for this.
This is Matthew McConaughey and Colin Farrell. It's a Guy Ritchie movie. Is it Henry Golding, the guy from Crazy Rich Asians?
I'm not sure, man.
I think it is. Can't. Box Office Mojo sucks. Yet again. Week two of me getting tricked. And
got bamboozled. Got gefuffed, right?
Yep. And then also The Turning, which is apparently some sort of horror movie.
Out. Yeah, I saw like a picture of like a spider in a kid's mouth. That was great.
That looks spooky. So
nothing too big coming out right now, but you know, it is just the beginning of the year.
I think the first big movie perhaps is only a few weeks away.
What's that?
Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of Harley Quinn.
Okay, maybe we get Matt on for that one. I don't know. I doubt it. He'll come on. But maybe.
You know what? You never know.
He did see Doolittle.
Right.
And he, you know, he only sees bad movies now.
Well, you could probably see that movie then.
Yeah, I don't want to see that movie. Birds of Prey. Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right. Well, that's
there we go. That's a good way to end. That's a good way to end the show.
Yeah, that's the podcast. I'm tired.
Okay.
No.
Bedtime for both of us.
See you next week. Bye.
And more next time on Super Films Cast 64!